from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the July 5th, 2012 edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor, Illinois will be here to look at the cash grain market, and we'll discuss the very, very, very important weather forecast with meteorologist Peter Levitt. Along the way, we'll hear another entry from my journal. Last week, I was in Europe. Today, we'll visit Barry Callebaut. That's a chocolate producer in Belgium. And NATO. That's right, we were in NATO, and we'll hear a bit more about that during today's edition of the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago at the CME Group this afternoon, the last trades at 2 o'clock looked like this for the day. The July soft red winter wheat finished up at $8.19¼, 37 cents higher for the day. And the September at $8.40½, up 41 and a quarter. Of course, these are last trades and not settlement prices. The hard red in Kansas City at $8.08 finished 23 cents higher on the afternoon. From the corn pit in Chicago, the last trade at the day at 2 o'clock Central, 770, up 51¼ for the July. September at 7.11½, up 37½, and December futures at $7.08, up 33½. The March corn, $7.17, up 34¾. May at 7.15, up 28¾. In July of next year, up 29¾. And last trade there at $7.18¾. December contract at $6.10¼, up 12½ for 2013. July soybeans for the day, 1600, or rather 1629. That's up 56 cents and three quarters. And the August at 1584, up 54½. September at 1551½, up 53½. And November beans for the day at $15.28, up 53¼. January futures, 1522. That finished at 49¾ higher. The March contract at 1473¼, up 41. And May beans at 1417, up 16¾. Bean meal up $19.40. Bean oil $1.20 higher. Live cattle up, down 32½. So feeders down $1.45. And hogs were down $1.05. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The nearby contract and the crude oil at $86.93 a barrel, 73 cents lower. Ethanol at $2.39¾, that's up 4¼¢. Natural gas, 4¢ higher at $2.94½. And heating oil on the day, or diesel fuel, at $2.75¹, just about unchanged. The gold at $1,608.90, down $12.40. And the U.S. dollar up 1.03 at 82.81. The CRB index on the afternoon at 293.43 is up 0.79. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, sunny skies, it will be hot. A high near 101 degrees, 102, just outside the studios here on campus now. The heat index values as high as 106. The west wind will blow at about 7 miles an hour. Mostly clear skies this evening, a low of just 75 degrees on a west wind at 5, and then mostly sunny tomorrow. A high near 102, the heat index at 106 again. Friday evening, mostly clear, low of 76. Saturday, mostly sunny, hot, and 101 degrees with a west wind at 3 to 7. And then Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 72. On Sunday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 89 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms Sunday evening, partly cloudy and 67. Monday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and 85. And on Monday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 66. By the time we get to Tuesday, skies will clear. It'll be sunny. A high of 85 degrees Tuesday night, mostly clear, and 65. And Wednesday, sunny with a high near 86 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt right here on the Closing Market Report. You can hear us again if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take up what's been happening in the commodity markets is Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
Hi, Todd. More than welcome.
Well, it's hot here, really hot, and Chicago, which generally trades ahead, thinks that the crop is burning up, I suppose, and in large part, I guess it's not good, certainly, out here in the Corn Belt. The question is whether Chicago's right or wrong and what kinds of problems we really will have with available supply. Do you have any good answers for us?
Well, I mean, as long as the crop is perceived as getting smaller, the bull is going to run, and that's what you're seeing here today. We went through the weekend, or went through 4th of July with 100-degree heat earlier in the week, and we're finishing out the week with 100-degree heat. And a lot of areas of the Corn Belt just have missed the rain. You know, Iowa looks to be a decent crop. We don't know, you know, we still got a long ways to go, but at least they've had more rain. Minnesota, northwestern Illinois, northern Illinois is in better shape. But when you get south of Interstate 80 and you get to the east, it deteriorates pretty bad all the way into Memphis. But now up to Memphis, Mississippi crop is in pretty good shape. It's starting to come off now. But yeah, as long as the trade perceives the crop is getting smaller, we're going to gallop higher. Now, you know, technically the chart looks like we've got a lot of ways to go to the upside. But then when you look at your overbought, oversold type indicators, man, everything's just up in the clouds. So that makes you nervous that the market could be at the point of maybe running out of buyers at some point in time and could have a setback. I guess the big question here is the long-range weather models do imply that we're going to cool things off sometime here, middle part of next week or the end of next week. Now, will the trade continue to perceive that is the crop getting smaller or not? That's the big worry. The cooler temperatures will probably take the stress off of it, but I haven't seen any weather models that really suggest that we've got any big rain systems ready to march across the Corn Belt yet.
What are your thoughts about the ability of ethanol producers to continue to provide a product to the gasoline industry, the oil industry? Will the oil industry, on the flip side, use their RINs at some point? Will the U.S. government, and I think I saw this at some point to consider, and this might be much further down the line, easing the mandate for ethanol in the marketplace?
Well, I know I saw that rumor or talk go across the wire this morning right away. That's just basically someone trying to get the market to break so they can probably cover their position. I mean, I think, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I'm sure at some point in time, if things do look like we are in a very serious situation, that, yes, living through the 70s, I've seen government involvement, and I would expect the government to get involved at some point in time. Also, but USDA's kind of got themselves in a box. I mean, the EPA really can't do anything until USDA verifies that we do have a supply-threatening shortage of some kind. And, you know, they started out with all those computer models that indicated that we're going to have a national average yield of 166 and 43 or 44 on the beans. And now, you know, the question is, what are they going to do here next week? Bring it down to trend line? I think everybody will laugh them out of Washington. So USDA's really got themselves in a box. So until you get an official estimate of what size this crop is, that's really not going to come until about August. So the market can do a lot of things here between now and the first part of August. So I don't think I'd worry so much about government involvement. I think if anything you got to worry about is prices are getting to the point where end users might start backing off. I think that, you know, $460 soybean meal is really going to play havoc, with the poultry industry and whatnot. So, The supply of corn, profitability on the small ethanol plants, how long will they continue to grind if they're not making any money? And, of course, the RIN factor comes into play. Right at the moment, the market is focused on deteriorating crop production.
So we're really not worried about demand side just yet? Is that what you're telling me?
No. You're worried about demand side. But remember, you've got to, it's the future. You've got to get people, people can always hang on for another week, an old crop. The question here is what happens to demand for next year, and when do they start pulling the plug on expansions or cutbacks and whatnot? And nobody really knows yet what size of crop it is. I mean, we are in a hysteria here. There's no doubt in my mind that the Eastern Corn Belt has been dramatically shaved. We haven't seen major yield yet from the USDA. And we're not going to see one until about August. But at the moment, the technicals are all pointing at some higher levels. Beans, I think my short-term objective was something like 1535, and then the next one I think goes on up to about 1575 area. On the corn, I think I got short-term, the technical objective on these corn is about 730, 732, and then another one about 740. If those numbers are met and exceeded, then you can talk about some bigger numbers. Actually, depending upon what happens, I would not rule out record highs across the board yet.
Anything else on that note to add before I let you go for the day?
I think that's about it, and we'll talk to you later for Commodity Week.
All right. Thanks so much, Dan.
Great, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana, and he's correct. He will be a guest on our Commodity Week program. We're going to record that early because I'm out of the office, tomorrow. And then over at Purdue at the Top Farmer Crop Workshop on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. So Dave will be in the saddle for the closing market report for those few days. But he's been handling my job and his for the last week, so I thought it might be best to go ahead and do Commodity Week this afternoon. You can hear that on our website at willag.org, willag.org. After about 6 o'clock this evening, Dan will be there, Bill Mayer will be along, and Dave Luce, who's with the Illinois Corn Growers Association and an ethanol expert, should be a really good conversation.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
Speaking of Dave, here he is now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, USDA says it plans to overhaul the way it monitors for antibiotic and other chemical residues in the U.S. meat and egg supply. A new third tier of testing planned by USDA would be aimed at the herd or flock level when all the animals at a farm are suspected of being exposed to illegal chemical levels. The Food and Drug Administration announced new rules in April to reduce the use of antibiotics on livestock, to lower the risk that people will eat meat contaminated with bacteria that have become resistant to the drugs. India's meteorological department says that June rainfall was 29% below the long-term average, and that rainfall so far in the June-September season is 31% below average. A delayed start and a mid-season low in rainfall has affected sowing of summer crops in 5 provinces. The European Central Bank has cut its key interest rate by a quarter percentage point to a record low of 0.75% to boost a Eurozone economy weighed down by the continent's crisis over too much government debt. Meanwhile, the Bank of England today injected another $78 billion into the ailing British economy. It is the first stimulus since February. The new purchases are expected to take 4 months to complete. And China has cut its benchmark lending rate for the second time within a month in an attempt to stimulate the economy. The Chinese Central Bank today says that the interest rate on a one-year loan will be reduced by 0.31 percentage points to 6 points even, effective tomorrow. Today, the FAO sharply lowered its forecast for world cereal production in 2012-13 due to dry weather concerns for the U.S. corn crop. The Food and Agriculture Organization cut its estimate of global cereal output by more than 23 million metric tons. The FAO's forecast for corn production in the U.S. fell by 25 million tons to 350 million metric tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Visit us online at WILLAG.org. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. Last week, of course, as you already know, I was traveling with the European Union Center here on campus and a group of high school teachers to learn a bit more about agriculture in European society. Today, we'll hear the third of my journal entries from the week-long trip. This one for Wednesday, June the 27th. When the sun sets around 10 o'clock, you go to bed at about 1:30 in the morning. Well, at least I did last night. That's a bad deal when the alarm rings at 6:30 a.m. Fortunately, we get to sleep in an extra hour on hump day, but we're out and running pretty quickly. A few of the younger folks have been burning the candle at both ends a bit harder than me. The hour-long bus ride this morning gives them time to sleep, not enough to recuperate, mind you, but everyone's operational. I wonder, with a little smirk on my face, how they'll take the chocolate factory. It should be odoriferous. Barry Calibut is situated in classic small-town Americana, at least that's how we're introduced to the company. Wheezy, Belgium is a little burg of about 2,000, and judging by the size of the chocolate factory, everyone in town probably works or is related to somebody who does work here. As it turns out, I've likely been eating chocolate made by this company for decades. It is the chocolate supplier to the chocolate makers. About 70% of Belgium chocolates start with a Barry Calibut base. One in four chocolates on the planet. Wow, I'm at the Candyman's house. It has over 2,000 recipes, employs 6,000 people in 27 countries, and controls 40% of the industrial open market. Illinois-based Kraft Cadbury, soon to be spun off as Mondelez, is the next biggest, followed by Mars, Nestle, Hershey's, half as much production, by the way, Cargill, now we're talking ag, Blommer, ADM, and Lent. Barry Calibut is concerned about Cargill and ADM, and while it wasn't said, it's a pretty good guess that's because those two companies have direct contact with cocoa growers. So does Barry Calibut. It makes no beans, pun intended, about the importance of growers in Africa. Ivory Coast is the world's biggest cocoa producer. Now, Calibut is putting genuine effort into what it calls sustainable cocoa. On the outside, that sounds like doing good works. And I suppose it is in part, but I'm more production-oriented, and it is clear sustainable means teaching growers how to produce a better quality bean. We tour the plant. It smells yummy, and Calibut sends us on our way, each with about 4 kilos of chocolate. I tap out a note to the wife. About 8 pounds of Belgium chocolate in hand. We'll purchase more only upon request. She and I agree on this point. We board the bus and head back to Brussels for lunch and a visit to the United States mission to the European Union. Passports required for entry. Once again, like our visit to NATO, all of our loose belongings, phones, wallets, cameras, change in our pockets, is collected and stored. We pass through security, climb a set of stairs, and enter a posh conference room. I'm one of the last to arrive and take the seat at the opposite head of the table. The journalist, that's me, is quickly identified, and later in the briefing the words, on background, are uttered. In my world, that means you can hear it, but not attribute it. The mission is like a mini Washington, D.C., housing reps from the Departments of State, Agriculture, Commerce, Homeland Security, Treasury, Justice, Defense, USAID, USTR, and NOAA. A tourist from Arizona managed to join our group for this briefing. He was traveling with his grandson. Note to self, do that with your grandchildren. I don't think my kids would stand for it, but when Granddad says we're going to the U.S. mission, now that's cool.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
This is the Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason on the phone line from TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Matt Bennett, good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's 102 here, just as warm where you are, I'm sure. And if you actually had ears of corn, it would be popcorn by now. What's the condition of the crop?
It's definitely stressed, as most people know. The earliest corn, you know, the late March stuff, first couple days of April, pollinated for the most part fairly good, and I think, you know, it's trying to set an ear on, but obviously without significant moisture really quickly, you know, there won't be a whole lot there at all, and so, you know, it's not good. You know, beans are waiting on a rain, but the forecast really isn't that promising yet.
When I traveled yesterday for the fourth day of July to Peoria, the crop actually from the road still looks pretty decent, at least along that route from Champaign to Bloomington to Peoria. Is there much of a difference, you think, between what you see from the road and what you see inside the field?
Well, I think that there's quite a bit, and especially anywhere where there's been, you know, any sort of stress as far as fertility, or if there was a little bit of compaction on end rows, or, you know, just anything is being magnified right now. But, yeah, for the most part, some of this corn looks fairly good from the road yet. It's hanging right in there, especially early in the morning. You know, but then middle of the afternoon, you're hard-pressed to find a cornfield that looks pretty decent.
Spot month July gained 49 and a quarter cents on its settlement price. It was up 54, I think, and a half at the end of the day. But settlement price is up 49 and a quarter for the July contract. Is your spot month cash basis following it?
Well, you know, right now we're off the SEP, which most
right.
people are bidding at, and you know, we gained 35 on the day. Now, in the last week, we've lost 10 cents a basis locally, and I think most people have kind of been in the same boat. You know, there's been a lot of basis deterioration, and I think, especially on this just steep uptrending market, you're going to probably continue to find that.
Who's not buying?
Well, you know, ethanol plants have kind of backed out for the most part, at least several of them that we've been dealing with. But I do think, you know, while this basis is basically doing this right now in the deterioration mode, as we get closer to the end of July, early August, I'm not so sure we're not going to be looking at some really high overs, but that's just my opinion.
That could be really interesting, and it could be really high overs, depending on whether we get rainfall or not, I suppose.
Exactly.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn to be 754, fall 693, cash beans 1598, fall 1502.
Now, are you suggesting producers, if they are willing, take advantage of this for new crop?
I have nobody that's interested in doing anything other than buying back contracts right now. So there's just, you know, there's a lot of fear out there, Todd, but it's well warranted and it's really tough. You know, I guess the gist of it is it's really tough to tell a guy what to do right now. It's a scary situation.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. In just a couple of minutes, I'll come back. We'll talk about the weather forecast with agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt.
It's National Apple Turnover Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1753, Jonathan Carver Hornblower was born. A British mining engineer, he invented the first compound steam engine. In 1797, Sylvester Graham was born in West Suffield, Connecticut. He advocated vegetarianism, temperance, and the use of coarse ground whole wheat flour. And, oh yes, he also invented the graham cracker in 1829. In 1826, Joseph Louis Prost died.
Prost was a French chemist in 1799. He was the first to extract sugar from grapes, and he proved it identical to sugar extracted from honey. In 1867, Andrew Stuglis died, an American archaeologist. He discovered tree ring dating. Douglas's research showed that the width of tree rings is a record of rainfall, with implications on the local food supply in dry years. In 1937, Chester Greenwood died. Farmers everywhere appreciate his invention of earmuffs, which he designed and patented as a teenager. The first model was beaver fur made on a wire frame. In 1966, large hailstones fell on Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. One hailstone measured 1 foot in diameter. And in 1996, Dolly, a sheep, was born in Scotland. Dolly was the first animal cloned from an adult animal. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Normally, we would be on the phone line with meteorologist Peter Levitt. He's not in the office this afternoon. Here's the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service for today. Yet sunny skies, a high near 101, 102 degrees outside the studios at this time. Mostly clear this evening, a low 75 degrees on a west wind at about 5 miles an hour. It'll be calm throughout the evening. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny and hot for Friday, a high of 102. The heat index all the way to 106 with a west-northwest wind at 3 to 7. Stay inside, plenty of water for the pets and the animals, please. Mostly clear, a low of 76 tomorrow evening. That's Friday night. Light and variable winds, mostly sunny and hot again on Saturday, a high near 101 degrees with a west wind at 3 to 7, and partly cloudy on Saturday night, 72 degrees. On Sunday, finally, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, it'll still be very warm, a high near 89 degrees. A chance of showers and thunderstorms continues through Sunday evening. Partly cloudy and a low of 67. And for the Urbana East Central Illinois area on Monday, that chance of showers and thunderstorms remains. Partly sunny, a high of 85 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy and 66. And on Tuesday, sunny skies and 85. Tuesday night, mostly clear, a low of 65 degrees. On Wednesday, sunny skies and a high of 86. And that's the weather forecast from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Well, a couple of notes while we have some extra time for the afternoon. I will be out of the office tomorrow, so we're going to record Commodity Week this afternoon. Our panelist in studio, actually on the phone line in part, will be Dan Zwicker from CGB Enterprises. Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing will be here in studio. And then on the phone line from the Illinois Corn Growers Association, their ethanol expert, Dave Luce, should be a really good conversation, and we can take up RINs and what might happen to the ethanol market as we continue to move the marketplace for corn much higher, what might happen in Washington, D.C., some of the contingency plans. Dave Luce will help us take that up during Commodity Week. We'll put it up on our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening, so you can listen to it fairly early. And then next week, I will be out of the office over at the Top Farmer Crop Workshop in Purdue, or at Purdue in West Lafayette, Indiana, and Dave will be on hand here. We'll be putting some podcasts together from the Top Farmer Crop Workshop. You should be able to find those on the FarmDoc website. You can visit farmdocdaily.illinois.edu and listen to those Top Farmer Crop Workshop podcasts at farmdocdaily.com. www.illinois.edu. That does wrap up this edition of the Closing Market Report for Thursday afternoon. You have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay inside if you can. Drink plenty of fluids and don't work very hard out there on the farm. I'm Todd Gleason.